2 Samuel chapter 21 is in your Bible this morning. 2 Samuel chapter 21. 1,500 years before Christ was born, Joshua swept across the Jordan River into the 300,000 square miles of the promised land. It was a land of milk and honey, a promised land of heritage to the Jews. God had commanded this man, Joshua, that when he came into the land, all the tribes were to be removed. Their pagan, immoral, and religious practices could not coexist with the people of God. With the memories of God's power in Egypt and the victory at Jericho, the tribes banded together in an attempt to survive. The small band of Gibeonites knew that that was futile in the face of an almighty God. So instead of trying to force a victory over Israel, they decided to work deceptively. They sent an ambassage to Joshua, disguised like they had traveled a great distance. Joshua quizzed them, but they said, "No, we've been traveling a long place." Joshua and the princes of Israel made a very bad mistake. They did not seek counsel of God in prayer, but they decided to make a decision based upon the appearance. Still a bad practice today. They signed a peace treaty that they could live. After a three-day journey, Joshua learned that the Gibeonites were not from a far country, but lived close by Jerusalem. Peace treaties meant something in that day, and they would not go back on their word. They were allowed to live close by Jerusalem. They were to be hewers of wood and drawers of water for Israel. There's no word in the Bible that they ever rebelled against this servile task. Now, 400 years later, Israel has elected their first king. His name is Saul. Saul did a foolish thing toward these Gibeonites. Under the color of honoring Israel, and so that it might be said that no natives remained in the promised land when Israel came, Saul purposed in his heart that he would exterminate the Gibeonites from the land, and he killed many of them. This was a dishonest and cold act of blood, but Saul was the king. Two groups never forgot what happened: the Gibeonites and God. So we pick up our story today in 2 Samuel chapter 21 and verse 1. Then there was a famine in the days of David 3 years, year after year. And David inquired of the Lord, and the Lord answered, "It is for Saul and for his bloody house, because he slew the Gibeonites." And the king called the Gibeonites and said unto them, "Now the Gibeonites were not of the children of Israel, but of the remnant of the Amorites. And the children of Israel had sworn unto them, and Saul sought to slay them in his zeal to the children of Israel and Judah. Wherefore David said unto the Gibeonites, 'What shall I do for you? And wherewith shall I make the atonement that we may bless the inheritance of the Lord?' And the Gibeonites said unto him, 'We will have no silver nor gold of Saul, nor of his house. Neither for us shalt thou kill any man in Israel.' And he said, 'What ye shall say, that will I do for you.' And they answered the king, 'The man that consumed us and that devised against us that we should be destroyed from remaining in any of the coasts of Israel. Let seven men of his sons be delivered unto us, and we will hang them up unto the Lord in Gibeah of Saul, whom the Lord did choose. And the king said, I will give them. But the king spared Mephibosheth, the son of Jonathan, the son of Saul, because of the Lord's oath that was between them, between David and Jonathan, the son of Saul. But the king took the two sons of Rizpah, the daughter of Aiah, whom she bare unto Saul, Armoni and Mephibosheth, and the five sons of Michal, the daughter of Saul, whom she brought up for Adriel, the son of Barzillai, the Melohathite. And he delivered them into the hands of the Gibeonites, and they hanged them in the hill before the Lord. And they fell all seven together and were put to death in the days of harvest, in the first days, in the beginning of barley harvest. And we look for a great mother named Rizpah. Verse 10. And Rizpah, the daughter of Aiah, took sackcloth and spread it for her upon the rock from the beginning of harvest until water dropped upon them out of heaven, and suffered neither the birds of the air to rest on them by day nor the beasts of the field by night. There are some lessons in this story that we should learn. First of all, there's no sin without suffering. Our story is introduced by famine, God withholding his blessings upon the land. Famine in our spiritual lives always comes as a result of sin. In this case, the sin was mistreatment. God saw it. God was displeased, and he removed his blessings. Spiritual blessings come in relation to our character and our conduct before God. Second of all, old sins cast long shadows. God called Saul's house a bloody house. Third, sin always brings a horrible penalty. These young men were brought to Gibeah, the birthplace of Saul, and hanged. They were offered as a sacrifice for the sins of another, and they hung there until the rains came and judgment was paid. Then we have the example of a great mother. We know very little about Rizpah. What we read is the majority of what we know. It is the heart of a great mother under difficult circumstances. She was not young, at the very minimum 60, perhaps a great deal older. She was a widow. Now in her old age, the great joy of her life was encased in two boys. Not only were they the joy of her life, the culture being what it was in those days, they were also her support. Then horrible news came from the government of David that they would have to die. They were marched under guard of David to the birthplace on a hill. Behind them walked a mother. Clothes torn, the black of mourning, wailing of that Eastern culture, horror in her soul. For these boys she had born were under the sentence of death for a crime they did not commit. They were killed at the beginning of barley harvest, the middle of April, and the rains would come in October, a 6-month period of time. What did this mother do? Well, first of all, she came to where they were. Mothers, from the time we're born, are interested in what we're doing and where we are. Your mother may be far away, but at the start of this day, I guarantee you, your mama thought of you. You have been in her heart, and I trust that she has been in your heart. She was there. Second of all, she came to stay. We make lots of mistakes, but mother's come to stay. She took sackcloth and erected a tent where her boys were crying in agony, and there she stayed. Through the searing heart and heat of summer, days turned to weeks, weeks turned to months. She kept the birds off and the wild beasts away from those two boys. I can't comprehend it because I don't have a mother's heart. What it was like to see her boys decaying away to skeletons. She came to stay until David was touched by her devotion and came and took the skeletal remains along with Saul and David's friend Jonathan and gave them a royal burial in the burial place of the household of Kish. Rizpah is like your mother. She could not do what she wanted. She would have saved them. Your mother saved you a lot of heartaches and wrong steps along the way. Rizpah did what she could. She shooed the birds away and the foxes and the ravens. It was a heart of patience and love. She is a wonderful type of the mother that we celebrate today. No word brings to the human heart more emotion than the word mother. She absolutely is the key to what we are. D.L. Moody said this, "All that is good and in my life has come from my mother." Abraham Lincoln, "All that I am or hope to be, I owe to my angel mother." The night he was elected president of the United States, he spent that evening with his mother. I would that you be thankful for your mother today. If you had the wealth of the world, you could never repay her for what she has done for you. She carried you close to her heart for those months. She kissed death's door to give you life. Hers were the first lips to kiss you. Her finger was the first finger you held. Hers was the first love that you knew. She nursed you tenderly. She arose when she was tired to care for you. Every little cry brought her to attention. She dressed you and bathed you and loved you and rocked you and sang to you and prayed for you and said, "Oh, son." Do you remember she cried the first day you went to school? When you came home and wanted to tell, hers was the ears that wanted to hear. Who hurt when you started growing, became more independent? Who waited up when you began to date? Who cried when you got married? Who accepted that person as one of hers? Who has loved those grandkids with all her heart? That's your mama. You were so busy you found it hard to say thank you along the way. We're all a lot alike. It's not too late for the flowers and the thank yous to come. If you had a mother that was a Christian, you're doubly blessed. Let's go back to Gibeah's hill. The soldiers are there, David's elite. And we would ask them, why are you here? And they would say, we're here because of duty. We're here because of orders. The Gibeonites are there. Why are you here? Because of revenge. We hate the household of Saul. 7 young men are there. Why are you here? We will die for the sins of another. Rizpah is there, and we would ask her, why are you here? She would say, I'm their mother. Where else would you expect me to be? 1,000 years later, and a few miles from there is another hill called Calvary. There's a howling mob there that is there. Soldiers are there. And we would say, why are you here? And they would say, because of duty, because of orders. Pharisees are there. And we would ask them, why are you here? And they would say, we hate Jesus. Jesus, why are you here? I am dying for the sins of another. Mary, why are you here? I'm his mother. Where else would you expect me to be? Thank God for mothers. Father, how very thankful we are for our mothers this morning. Thank you for my mother that loved her family and kept the family together and loved us kids. Oh, Father, thank you. Thank you for the mothers that are here and all the families represented here. Some 2 and 3 generations that are here this morning, thank you, Heavenly Father, for them. Bless them. Bless our hearts together. Bless our lives together. Thank you for bringing our lives together in this church. Father, we just ask that you might have your hand of blessing and sustenance upon our mothers. Thank you for them. In Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand, ladies and gentlemen.